Hello there, this is Dave Allen, Wizard Gold, for EV 20 Questions. And today I want to talk about my trip to the salt mines of Cardona. Now, the reason for talking about these sort of trips is because we're getting into what it's like to actually run an electric vehicle. I've got a 2018 Nissan Leaf, and at the moment, the infrastructure in Spain is not as good as it should be. When I'm using it daily to go to work and back again and around the town and nearby, no problem at all. If I'm going down to Barcelona, I've discovered that it's pretty good as well, not really too many problems. If I'm going on longer trips, then I have to start thinking about doing some planning. And this is where this little podcast is coming in, with sort of describing some of my trip and some of the things I run into when I'm going on these trips. So anyway, my latest one was a trip to the salt mines of Cardona, which is out a little bit past Barcelona and Manresa. And it was about 260 kilometres away. So there and back, during the day, I did about 360 kilometres in total. So anyway, let's start our trip. So I wasn't really very sure if I was going to go on a trip or not. And so I ended up starting out a little bit later than usual. We could have got out of the house early if we'd have made a bit of a plan to go, but there you go, that's the way it worked out for the day. The idea was to go and visit a salt mine in Cardona. The salt mine is in the direction of Lleida. I wanted to stop at one of the charges in the outskirts of Barcelona. My wife, on the other hand, wanted me to stop in another place, going instead via Vic and pull into Manresa to charge up. Well, I listened to what my wife said because she'd been getting very good at looking at charges, and she was right about taking a scenic route, but on the other hand, it may not have been such a good idea. But anyway, on this particular occasion, she won the argument, or persuaded me that we should go via Manresa. I'd been to Manresa before anyway, so it was perhaps worth a look. First thing was is that we late starting, so when we got to Manresa, the dealership for Nissan was closed and we couldn't gain access to the Chatamo charge point. There was another charge in the town, but it was a Kia charge point, and I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to use it. Besides, it's probably closed as well for the siesta time during the afternoon, and I'd have had to wait it just as long. So we spent some time in the town, need to spend an hour and a half there, waiting for this place to open, and then another 20 minutes or so. So we really lost 2 hours because of the time we left and the time we arrived in Manresa. So we got something to eat and we had a look around the town, and it wasn't a particularly nice town, old industrial buildings, and there seemed to be lots of roadworks, and it was a bit sort of a, well, maybe it was just the area that we was looking in that was near to the Nissan deal. It was a bit of a dump and I wasn't that impressed. There was a big impressive building at one point we got to look at, which looked out across the river. Victoria was telling me that it was a something to do with the fellow that started the Jesuit Catholic sort of thing. I mean, as you might expect, it was a religious building. I mean, there's lots of that sort of stuff here in Spain. It's full of the iconography of that particular death cult, Christianity. Anyway, so enough of that. So eventually we got back to the dealership after having a wander around the town. I was disappointed to find that the one of the old-style Nissan Leafs parked in the charging spot. There's only one charging spot, as you might expect. And fortunately, during the time it took me to move the car into place next to the charger, because it was outside of the compound, as it were, for the dealership. So I moved it inside the compound, and just as I was pulling, the people who were charging their car came back in, and they'd probably only gone to the supermarket next door and were sort of taking a bit of advantage of the free charge in the place. So they wasn't there for long. But they moved out and we moved in. I had about 50% of battery left, and I did a quick charge. Perhaps should have stayed a little bit longer, but I put it up to about 75% or so, and we could begin the next day of the journey, which was to go 40 kilometres to the town of Cardona with the salt mine. The whole journey was on good roads, and there was interesting landscape views all the way and forests on both sides, and it was a pleasant journey. And so, you know, for that respect, and the fact that we did get to visit Manresa and have a look around, it was okay, it was different, you know. It wasn't bad. You've got to look philosophical on these things, haven't we? Not worry about things too much. So anyway, we got to the mine in Cardona, and the minibus took us down to the mine entrance. We went past this mountain of soil and mining junk, which had been removed the ground. It wasn't a real mountain. It was just all the stuff that had been stacked there over the many years. The salt on the ground made it look like it had been snowing. When we got into the guided tour, we was told by the guide that there was about 2 kilometres of salt down into the ground. And when they started to dig it up, they first took out the sodium chloride ordinary salt. And it was later that they found other types of salt. There's manganese salt and potassium salt. And it was a potassium salt which is more valuable because it's possible to use it to make explosives. Money. It was a fairly interesting visit with views of stalagmites and stalactites of salt in the tunnels. These stalactites and stalagmites generally took around, depending upon the distance that they had to go for, between the top and the bottom of the cave, but they could take sort of 18 to 40 years, something like that, to build up. Anyway, we weren't permitted to touch anything in there in case you broke something, so I mean, salt probably would break fairly easy, you know. Anyway, by the time we finished with the visit, it was time to start coming home again. There were some caves we visited in France that got stalactites and stalagmites, but they were of the ordinary kind, not salt, and they were much more interesting because they were much more colourful. And the whole tunnel sort of complex in France, I can't remember the name of the place, but it was not far from Les Anglais, and it's in the Pyrenees. It was more interesting. So by the time we finished the tour, it was time to start heading back home again. Now, Victoria had the choice of which way we went on the way to the place, and I had the choice of choosing which way we went on the way back home again. And really what we did was we did it the wrong way around. We should have used the direction I wanted to go in on the way there. We'd have wasted less time. And we'd have got to Cardona sooner, and we could have had time to go and visit the castle and see more of the actual town, not just the salt mine. Anyway, I've got a picture of the castle, so from a distance, that's something, I suppose. So after a bit of discussion about which way we should go back, as to whether we should go back via Man Racer, add some charge into the car there. Victoria reckoned it would be better as we could drive back home in one hop, and she was probably right. But my preference was to drive into the outskirts of Barcelona, which is what I wanted to do on the way there, and use one of the chargers available. There's one at Barberà de Bellas, and there's another two at Sant Cugat de Bellas. In the end, we decided to go to Sant Cugat. It just kind of was easier the way things, the roads went and so on. But perhaps we should have gone to Barberà de Bellas and just made another bad choice, really, because things didn't work out that great in Sant Cugat. When we got to the first charger, which was the same one I'd used before, there was a BMW i3 parked there. And it's parked over two spots, and I couldn't get into the second spot because of the way it was parked. So we decided, oh, well, let's try the other one in the town. And the other one in the town, it was worth a try because I've got a card, an RFID card from the adjuntment there to use with this charger, specific for this charger. Seems a bit silly having a charging point in a town, and the only way you can charge is by using the card from the town, which you can only get by applying. And you'd want really to have something there. You could maybe have a card, but it was in a bar nearby, or have a card that, or some app that you could use to activate the charger so that it could be used by people sort of come into the town so that they could use the facilities from the town, maybe go into a bar, spend some money, whatever else. But now they decide to make things a bit difficult, and things, with regard to the chargers in town, so you're going to have to change. You're going to have to make it easier so that you can pay with a credit card if you want to. Anyway, so we decided to go to this other charger, and on the way there, I thought, oh, well, look, there's a leaf in front of us. That's nice. But it was going in the direction we were going, and I soon had confirmation on my premonition that it was heading exactly where we was going to. It arrived at the charger about 5 seconds, or maybe less, before we did. And so it had the right to plug in before we did. And it did. It plugged into the Chademo, and that locked us out because it said it was going to stay there for about half an hour. So I thought, well, I don't want to wait for half an hour. Let's try out the Type 2 charging from the same charging pump. I put the card up against it and it wouldn't recognise the card. Now, I don't know if it was because it was charging something already. I don't know if it was because it just didn't recognise the card. It should have recognised the card because I've got it from the adjuntment and it should have worked. Unless maybe there was some sort of timing limit on how, you know, between when you got the card and when you're supposed to use it for the first time to activate it, I don't know. It didn't work anyway when I tried it on Type 2, and I really didn't want to wait half an hour to find out if it wasn't going to work again on the Chademo. So I thought, oh, well, I'll give up on this and go back to the previous one. So I go back to the previous one, the BMW i3 was still there. I pulled up in front of it and I did a bit of head scratching and thought, well, maybe if I turn the car around and pulled up right in front of it, I might be able to plug in the Chademo socket, because the BMW, it uses the CCS plug. I actually discovered that the car on the this BMW i3 wasn't charging. And I thought, well, that's bloody annoying, isn't it? It shouldn't be doing that. I mean, it's bad enough in taking two places and not allowing anybody else to get in there, but actually sort of plugging in and pretending to charge, it's bad etiquette. It's just bad behaviour all around, whichever way you look at it. So anyway, I unplugged his car, and that kind of proved that he wasn't charging because it wasn't locked into the car. I was about to turn my car around and try and get it in so I could stretch the hose to the car and get it plugged in. And the owner came back for the BMW. He gave me some dirty looks because I'd unplugged his car. I says, well, it wasn't charging, and why is it that you've parked over these two spaces? And he just gave me another funny look and never answered my question. So that's BMW drivers for you. So we got plugged in, finally. Bit of time wasted there as well. So it wasn't a good day for, using chargers and wasting time and stuff like that, but still. So I went into the supermarket or shopping centre and was able to get charging up and stay there for about half an hour and got back to the car, and we had plenty in there then to drive back home again. All in all, everything was okay, and it was just interesting really to see the way things can work when you're actually sort of driving an electric car. You have to sort of bear in mind that these charging points are a single charger in a location. I mean, this town did have two that were fairly close together, only 10 minutes apart, but sometimes you'll get into a town and there's only one charger in the town and you might get there and find it occupied. You might get there, find it occupied, and there's someone waiting in front of you there, so you might have perhaps an hour to wait before you can get charging up. So you might have to think about, well, can I move on to get to the next charger and have better luck there? I mean, there is the possibility of using the app to reserve the charger. So maybe you're sort of 10 or 15 minutes away from the charger. You think, OK, well, let's reserve it. And you get there, you know the charger's going to be available for you. That's something. Unless you get a BMW driver that pulls in front anyway and decides that, oh, OK, well, I can't charge it, but I'll plug in anyway and look like I'm charging and take all the spaces and not let anybody else in. So that could happen too. So what would be nice would be if we could have more things like the charging hubs, as we've seen get installed in some places like Dundee, of all places in Scotland. There's one recently opened. I think there's probably another one there that's already done, and they're putting another one in. They have three hubs. I don't know how many chargers there are in these hubs, but there's at least, say, six or maybe eight chargers in these spaces, so that the eight cars can go in there and charge up all at the same time. Now, that would be nice. So, what about the cost of charging them? Well, in the morning, I left and I had 100% of the battery. And when I arrived back home, let's say I had about 35% left. So let's say approximately two-thirds of the battery. I worked it out that two-thirds of the battery is, let's say, to fill the battery completely is about €3.25. So if you go with the fact that effectively I used two-thirds of the battery for the whole of the day because of what I started with and what I arrived back with, and the fact that the charges that I put in between times were free anyway, so that's good. So the whole day's driving of, 360 kilometres cost me about €2. Now that is good driving, isn't it? So there's minuses when you're sort of going driving places and you can't get into charges because of the fact that they're being used by somebody else, or they're not working, or you have to make other plans and you have to be sort of bit careful have with the range and stuff like that and have backup plans. So there's that on one side, and then on the other end of it you've got the fact that it's really cheap driving. So I was at the end of it a happy Nissan Leaf driver. So looking back at the day and how it all worked out, I'm sure I should have used the route that I took coming home. I usually should have used that on the way there because I'd have had more options, I'd have wasted less time going to the Cardona salt mines. On the other hand, I did get that experience of man racing on the way back, which kind of, you know, just told me a bit more about what it's like being an electric car driver, and, you know, gave me sort of heads up into the way that things kind of work and so on. So it was an experience that gave me something to talk about in blog and also to record in this podcast. So the other thing, of course, was the fact that the BMW i3 driver was an idiot. It's not just, you know, going into places where you could be iced, where you pull into a charging point and find that there's an internal combustion engine car, an ICE, taking up the space and you can't get in there. It could be a electric vehicle driver who's behaving badly and not using proper electric vehicle charging and parking etiquette. So anyway, that was my story for the day. And this is Dave Allen for EV20 Questions, and I'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye now.